The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this indicating what kind of death he would die.
The Gospel of the Lord.
So oftentimes, throughout the Gospels, Jesus speaks in a cryptic way. And what I mean by that is Jesus speaks in a mysterious manner and fashion. And so, that shouldn't be all too surprising. Jesus is God. God became a human being. We should assume that we're not going to comprehend everything that God reveals to us, except through maybe a great deal of maybe study and prayer, meditation. And so it's kind of one of the fun things about reading the scriptures is they're so sumptuous and so deep that you can continue to receive from them over the course of years and years and years. And they have a way of just becoming more and more rich as time goes on. Like a good piece of music or a good piece of art, it just has depth. However, in some of the passages of the gospel, I think we look at them and we see Jesus being asked questions, various types of questions, and he gives kind of a weird answer or an answer that doesn't seem to correspond or correlate to the question being asked. That happens in today's gospel. And so I just kind of like to examine that and look at that and point to what this has to do with us and why we're talking about it right now. And what it has to do with Jesus and this time of Lent as we're getting really close right now to kind of the central mysteries of our faith as Catholics. So some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was one of Jesus' 12 apostles, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Okay, so you have this group of Greeks who are approaching one of the people who are close to Jesus, Philip. Philip, of course, is a Greek name. We remember Philip the Great, who was the father of Alexander the Great, who conquered much of the world. And then Alexander kind of finished up after him and did a great job as far as world conquering goes. And Philip is one of Jesus's apostles. It's presumed here that he speaks Greek. And so that's why the Greeks come to him. He's a Greek, so this is kind of an in to get to talk to this big guy. I mean, Jesus is very, very popular at this point. He's very well known. People have been following him for 3 years. This is taking place just a couple days before his passion, this scene. And so they come up to him. He goes and grabs Andrew. Andrew's another Greek name, by the way, Andres. And then they go and they grab Jesus. And then Jesus says, so they say, you know, these Greeks, they want to meet you. This is how Jesus responds to that comment that a group of Greeks wants to meet you. He says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there also my servant must be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." And then he keeps going on. Jesus, a group of Greek people want to talk to you. And then Jesus kind of goes into this, no, you probably didn't understand what I was saying. Just this group of Greek people wants to talk to you. And Jesus kind of goes into this thing. It's like, what's going on here? What's going on here is, you have to know a little bit about Greeks in the ancient world, and there's a little bit of subtext here. Greeks in the ancient world were very kind of, you might say, open-minded. Let's say that. They're a philosophical people. And so the Greeks, you know, in Athens, you would have these discussions, these public discussions that people would come to. And it was kind of like a, you know, almost like a form of entertainment, but it's also just like a discussion of ideas. So you'd have all these different ideas kind of coming forth. Maybe we might even think here of like YouTube or something like that, right? These ideas being explicated, and it's this public square. And so the Greeks were always interested in hearing great teachers teach. So here Jesus is once in a lifetime, from the Greeks' point of view, once in many lifetimes, generational teacher. So they know, the Greeks know, that the heat is on. Everybody knows the tension. If you've been reading the Gospel of John up until this point, you realize they're ready to kill Jesus. We're just a couple days away. If something doesn't change, he's going to be killed. And so the Greeks want to offer Jesus an asylum. That's what's going on here. The Greeks want to offer Jesus a place where he could come. "We would love to have you back in Athens. We'd love to have you back in Greece." In fact, Fulton Sheen talks about this kind of other subtle nuance here, which is the Greeks probably, to a certain extent, always carried with them this guilt over killing their greatest teacher. The Greeks killed their own greatest teacher when they killed Socrates. And Socrates is like the first great Greek philosopher. And still very, very much worth reading today, the Socratic Dialogues. And so there's a lot of parallels between Socrates and Jesus, actually. Socrates is killed for many of the same reasons that Jesus is killed. probably the primary reason being envy. And he's said to be a corrupter of the youth. Socrates is a corrupter of the youth. And so eventually they kill Socrates. Socrates himself actually decides to die and kind of face his death. And at any rate, the Greeks had this probably guilt. We killed our greatest teacher. Let's offer refuge to this great teacher, this person of Jesus. And Jesus says this little beautiful, beautiful response, which kind of says it all. It's one of those things where it's like, if you don't understand this, you don't understand Christ, and you don't understand Christianity. I'm troubled. I am troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. Jesus, come back with us to Greece. We'll give you refuge. You don't have to die. I am troubled. It's not something I'm looking forward to, but what am I supposed to say? Father, save me from this hour. It's for this purpose that I came. This is the point. Father, glorify your name. And then the Father says from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. This really speaks to probably one of the greatest heresies of our time, one of the greatest of the false beliefs of our time about the person of Jesus. This goes for Catholics, this goes for Protestants, this goes for non-believers. One of the greatest fallacies, wrong teachings about Jesus is that Jesus's primary identity is as a great teacher. Even believing that Jesus and his primary identity is the greatest of teachers. I wrote a little bit about this in my Easter letter. We have this notion sometimes that the reason that we bring our family to church is because we want to raise them up with good values and we want to expose them to the community, etc., etc. It's like, those are great things, but that is not it. Jesus didn't come to just teach us good morals. That is not how Jesus sees himself. He doesn't talk about himself that way at all. Jesus almost exclusively talks about himself as Savior. Savior. Savior of all of humanity, past, present, future. Jesus bridges the gap between God and humanity as the God-man by going on the cross. This was the point of him coming. Jesus is Savior, and we need to be saved by him. We come to Mass on Sundays so that we can receive a cleansing, so that the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, can wash over us. Just like back in the book of Exodus, the very second book in the Bible, the Hebrews are told there's going to be a 10th plague. It's going to be the worst plague. You better do this very specifically. What you have to do is you better eat the flesh of the lambs in this particular way, and you put the blood on the doorposts, or else your firstborn son is going to die and the angel of death will take the child. And so if you do this, the angel of death will pass over you. This is why we call it the Passover. In the same like manner, Christ as the Savior of the world, we come to Mass on Sunday so that we can be washed by the blood of Christ. So that when we eat his flesh and we drink his blood, the angel of death passes over us. It's That's why you have to go to Mass every Sunday. That's why it's a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sundays intentionally. We need to be saved. Heaven is not a given. Our lives here on earth and the joy of being in friendship with God, having God's life, it's not a given. Now is the time of judgment on this world, Jesus says. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. He's talking about Satan. When I am lifted up from the earth, he's talking about the cross and the crucifixion, I will draw everyone to myself. Lord, we ask you to wash us with the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. We know we need to be saved, both now and until the moment of our death. Please watch over our families. Draw us to yourself. Draw us into this mystery of your passion, death, and resurrection. We ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us take a few moments in silent prayer to just listen to and speak with the Lord in our hearts.